And welcome to Small Town, your hometown podcast. I'm your host, Matt Gaff. And today what we're going to do is kind of talk about Easter, mainly because yesterday was Easter. The week before, we had Good Friday on that Friday. So it's all about the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And it's a big holiday for Christians like myself. And I thought what we'd do is just kind of reflect on that a little bit, give you some verses, some scripture that kind of point to what happened over the Easter weekend, and kind of what a small town kind of looks like over Easter. In the past, a lot of smaller towns, when you go to church, everyone got dressed up and got their hats. You have all the little girls with their hats and everything. All the boys would get, you know, suits, you know, little ties and stuff like that. And myself included, we were in that camp where we would get a nice tie and we get all dressed up and everything like that for Easter. And that's how in a small town it was. And it was like that for quite some time. You know, you'd have Easter egg hunts and all of that. And that's good. These, you know, there's no, I don't feel as though there's any wrongness with having an Easter egg hunt for Easter eggs, because it does open up the community and everything like that. What I liked about our Easter egg hunts was that we would always make sure that it was, even though it was Easter bunny oriented in some cases, not now with all of the things with government and everything else, you can't do that as much, even in a small town. We used to be able to be able to tell them, share the good news of Christ with the Easter egg hunt. And the Methodist Church here in town does that. They do an Easter egg hunt, but they also talk about the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ and the actual true meaning of Easter. But, yeah, in a small town, you get a lot of just hominess, you know, where in some of the bigger cities, sometimes you don't. You get a lot of Easter egg, or you get a lot of things going on that's driven by the outside world, and that's really sad. And if you've got a, you know, go to a mega church where you've got three different services and you don't know the person who was in the first service and you're in the last service, you know, an Easter egg hunt is good, but it's just so many people, you know, you don't get to see your friends and neighbors sometimes, unless it's already a small, you know, unless all of your friends go to the same service time as you do. So, as far as I'm concerned, you know, I love Easter in a small town. It's cozy. Shops close down still. You know, they're not open on that day, or in some cases, some of the businesses are closed on that Friday, for Good Friday. So it's pretty nice. And that's what I like about, Easter in the small town. Now, what we're going to do is, since, Easter is really made up of three different things, all combined, we have the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. But we also have what was called Passover as well, which, if we kind of look into Matthew chapter 26, and it's verse 17 through 30 is where the whole Passover takes place. Now, I'm not going to read this, completely. If you want to go to the podcast itself on Anchor or anything like that, you'll see the all written out. But basically what it is, it says, now on the first day of the unleavened bread, the disciples came to Jesus and asked, where do you want us to prepare you to eat the Passover? Now remember, Passover was when you had to do the sacrifice and threw the blood over the doorway so that the spirit would pass over and it didn't kill the firstborn in Egypt. And this is what they're doing here. They're celebrating that time in which God spared the Jews' lives over the firstborn. And so this is what they're talking about. And then this is basically the Last Supper. Now it goes on, and in there we also get where Jesus calls out and says that, you know, truly I say to you that one of you will betray me. And that's in verse 21. And then 22, being deeply grieved, they began to say to him each other, surely it's not I, Lord. You know, and he says, and he answered, he who dipped his hand with me in the bowl is the one who will betray me. And we obviously know that that's Judas. He's the one that ends up betraying Jesus. But what we go on down here is where we get when we do communion, where we look at the body and the blood of Christ. And it says here in verse 26, "Now while they were eating, Jesus took some bread, and after a blessing, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body.' And when he had taken a cup and given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, 'Drink from it, all of you, for this is my blood of the covenant, which is being poured out for many for forgiveness of sins. But I say to you, I will not drink of this fruit of the vine from now on until that day when I drink it with you new in my Father's kingdom.' And after singing a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives." So this is where he actually talks about his body and his blood, where he will spill the blood and they will break his body. And so when we do communion, this is where we get this. A lot of churches will read that particular passage and talk about what that means and what it signifies. And so this is the first part of Easter is this right here is where we start talking about him also telling right there where he won't drink or eat again until they're up in heaven. He already knew that after they went to the Mount Olives, he was going to be arrested. He wasn't going to eat after that. And none of them, and maybe some of them picked up on it, but I don't think that they realized what he was necessarily saying. And that's a lot of things that happened with what Christ was saying while he was on here. He was saying a lot of things that in retrospect was, you know, proclaiming all of this. But it was so subtle that a lot of times some people missed out on what he was saying. And I think this particular point was kind of missed on them. He was, you know, saying, "This is the last time I will drink of the vine." They may have thought, well, he's fasting, or, you know, he's talking about something else, or, you know, it's just a reference to some other portion. And then what we're going to do is we're going to talk about the crucifix, the trial, basically. And that's in Luke chapter 23, 1 through 48. Like I said, I'm not going to necessarily go over the whole trial. That's where they take him and they go from Pilate back to Herod, back to Pilate. They decided, you know, none of them wanted to really be the one that says, "Hey, let's kill this person," because quite frankly, he was accused of things that obviously he was not of, but he was not giving them much information as well. Basically, pleading the fifth, you know, saying, you know, it's up to you to condemn me, not myself. So, but like it says here in verse 34, it says, crucifixion. He says, but Jesus was saying, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." And they cast lots, dividing his garments among themselves. And that's where, you know, they were basically taunting him. Because, you know, you got to remember, a few days before, he was riding in on a donkey and being praised and Hosanna in the highest and all of this other. And, you know, and to go from that high of a praise to this and just a matter of a few days is just astronomical. And then in Luke, the same chapter, in verse 46, "And Jesus, crying out with a loud voice, said, 'Father, into your hands I entrust my spirit.' And having said this, he died." Now, we'll do, after the break, we'll go back and we'll read a couple other chapters, and what it really is it's an eyewitness account when you talk about the Matthew and Luke and John. And so they all read about the same, but they have some subtle differences, and it's from the different point of view of who was writing it. So right there you see, "Father, into your hands I entrust my spirit," and having said this, he died. That's what Luke said. And then what we'll see is that John sees it just slightly a little differently. And we'll go over what happened after he's dead, but or he's buried and then he resurrection. So we're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, we will wrap up this Easter special. And welcome back to Hometown, or to Small Town, your hometown podcast. And what we're talking about today is Easter and what it kind of means in the small town, but also what it just means, period. And some of the praise and glory that we can give to Christ. I mean, he basically was dead. He pushed back on death and let us, you know, forgive us of our sins. I mean, now because of his sacrifice, we now have a way to heaven. We no longer have to do burnt offerings. We don't have to worry about that. But we, you know, it's the greatest sacrifice we could ever have. So what we're doing is we're looking at some of the scripture here. So let's dive right back into it, shall we? And let's look at Matthew chapter 27, and it's verse 50 through 54. It says, "And Jesus cried out again with a loud voice and gave up his spirit." And this is where, you know, before the break we talked, Luke had said, he said, "Father, into your hands I entrust my spirit." And having said this, he died. Now, that's from Luke's point of view. Now, from Matthew's point of view, we heard and we see, "And Jesus cried out again with a loud voice and gave up his spirit." So he doesn't. So either Matthew may not have heard what he said, may not have remembered what he said, but that's where the chapters themselves, you know, point back to the same story, just from a slight different, you know, point of view, or just some add a little more and some not so much. But basically, these are reporters just reporting on them. So going on, verse 51, "And behold, the veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom, and the earth shook, and the rocks were split." Now, if you read into Luke's, you don't get this necessary account of the veil being split. And that's where reading the different chapters of the New Testament help, because you get the full story from different people altogether. So just reading one particular chapter isn't necessarily, or one particular book isn't necessarily going to help you get the full picture of what happened. So if you were just reading Luke, you're going to be like, "Oh, okay, well, you know, he passed." But then you read Matthew and you see it tore. The veil from the temple tore in two from top to bottom, not from bottom to top. So this wasn't from people ripping this. To rip from the top where God sits, it ripped from there down to the earth. "And the earth shook and the rocks were split. Also, the tombs were opened, and many bodies of the saints who had fell asleep were raised. And coming out of the tombs after his resurrection, they entered the holy city and appeared to many. Now as for the centurion and those who were with him, keeping guard over Jesus, when they saw the earthquake and the other things they were happening, they began extremely frightened and said, 'Truly, this was the Son of God.'" So here we see where bodies risen from the dead, basically, is what they're talking about when they talk about asleep and raised. That's, you know, from the dead. I mean, tombs opened, rocks shook and broke. You don't see this in Luke's account, but you do in Matthew's, because he was in a different position from a different point of view, and he was in a different area. And that's when Christ died. So when he died, this all happened. So let's go on to John chapter 20, verse 11 through 18. Now, this is after he's been in the tomb, all right? Now, they've rolled the stones. They don't want the disciples coming to steal his body because, you know, Christ had said he would rise again from the dead. And so a lot of the Romans were wanting to make sure he stayed in the tomb. So they put guards there just to watch and to make sure no one tried to mess with it and to pass it off as it was a miracle that he was dead and he rose again, which from our account we know is, you know, not possible. It didn't help. It didn't matter. But this is what it says, starting with verse 11. "But Mary was standing outside the tomb weeping. So as she wept, she stooped to look into the tomb, and she saw two angels in white sitting at the head and one at the feet where the body of Jesus had been laid. And they said to her, 'Woman, Why are you weeping? She said to them, because they have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they put him. Now, at this point, she was thinking that someone did steal the body because they wanted to make sure that that was, you know, they wanted to desecrate it. They wanted to make sure that he was not coming back. And she felt that maybe they had moved him so that the disciples wouldn't know where he was, or his followers. They just really wanted to throw some chaos into it. And then in verse 14, when she said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, and yet she did not know that it was Jesus. And that's where sometimes we need that sight. You know, it's very poignant that she had been with him. You know, Mary had listened to his teachings, was a big supporter of him. And it's amazing how someone, you know, he's gone, now he's back, and she doesn't recognize him. She probably, you know, thought he was a gardener, just thought he was someone who may have even taken the body. And Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking?" And then this is where it says, and this is where John puts down, thinking that he was the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you put him, and I will take him away." So once again, you know, we have this whole thing of not knowing where he's at. You know, Jesus had said that he would be back, and she studied with him. It's just amazing that, you know, she didn't pick up on that. And Jesus said to her, "Mary." That's all he had to say, is "Mary." And right away she realized who it was. She turned and said to him in Hebrew, "Rabbi." Jesus said to her, "Stop clinging to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. But go to my brothers and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, and my God and your God." And Mary Magdalene came and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord, and that he said, and that he had said these things to her." And that's basically the story of Easter, where he's risen from the grave. And I think what we're going to do is next week, we're going to talk about what happened after Easter, and then when he ascends, and where he's, you know, the three encounters with his disciples, and where he was before he ascended to the heavens. That'll be next week, and then that'll kind of wrap up everything for us. But it's just amazing how when you read the Bible, you have to get the full picture, to get the full scope of everything. It's not like you can just read one particular chapter, you know, or one particular book. And that's what I really like, how the Bible is written, because it's so many different accounts put together. It's not, and that's where a lot of misguiding is, that they believe that the Bible is just this long story, and all of it is in the same time period, and it just, you know, rolls in to make sense. And that's really not the case a lot of times, you know, especially with the New Testament. When you start getting into Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, it's all accounts of the same thing, just in different point of views. So I think we're going to wrap it up right here. Once again, if you have any questions or anything like that, you can always email me at smalltownwithmattgaff@gmail.com. I'm on Facebook, so you can also message me on that, or on the Instagram account as well. If you've got friends and you want to listen to it, I noticed for some reason, some people have said that they hadn't noticed that the notifications are kicking in. So you might want to check on that. I'm not sure what's going on with that, but, hopefully, you know, if you know of a friend who hasn't heard, then maybe pass the news on and let them know that it's still going on. Until then, we'll see you next week. Have a good week.